Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at science, health, and technology. I'm Maureen Lewis Stump. Coming up, Springfield schools implement local foods in kids' lunches. And research from Washington University is shedding light on schizophrenia.
If they had a particular cluster of genes, they had a 70% probability or greater of developing one of the forms of schizophrenia.
But first, in last week's veto session in Missouri, legislators voted to override Governor Jay Nixon's veto of a law banning the sale of electronic cigarettes to minors. It's the first regulation of e-cigarettes in Missouri. But health advocates point out it also creates protections for the devices. And as Heartland Health Monitor's Alex Smith reports, state lawmakers may have set the stage for a showdown with the federal government.
Call them e-cigarettes, vapes, e-juices, or e-liquids. Just don't call them tobacco. While the new law bans sales to minors, it also prevents them from being classified as tobacco products.
It was operating under the guise of protecting youth, but really it just created a special carve-out for a special interest.
That's Tracy Kennedy with Tobacco Free Missouri, which opposed the law along with the American Cancer Society, the American Heart Association, and other health groups. While the law doesn't plainly forbid regulation of e-cigarettes, these groups point out that by defining e-cigarettes as not tobacco, the law keeps them from being subject to the same taxes and health requirements as traditional cigarettes. A.J. Moll, on the other hand, celebrated the law's approval.
This new law sends the message that Missouri is not for sale to heavily funded special interest health groups.
Moll is with the Bi-State Regional Advocates for Vaping Education, which operates in Missouri and Illinois. His group, along with many e-cigarette retailers, supports the law and its ban on sales to minors. Moll says it's too soon to regulate further because not enough is known about the health effects of e-cigarettes. But while the debate in Missouri seems to be settled for now, there's a big cloud forming on the e-cigarette horizon. The Food and Drug Administration is considering a law that would take a very different approach to e-cigarettes. In contrast to Missouri's new law, the agency is looking at classifying e-cigarettes as tobacco products and regulating them as such. That would mean e-cigarette makers would have to post health warnings and disclose ingredients.
There could be a potential conflict if the federal government wants to regulate e-cigarette products in one way and Missouri wants to do it in another.
Alan Rostron is a law professor at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. He says if the FDA did adopt such a rule, the winner would be clear.
To the extent that that sort of conflict does arise, the federal law is going to prevail over the state one. The U.S. Constitution has a clause in it known as the Supremacy Clause that says that federal law is the supreme law of the land.
Missouri's e-cigarette law isn't the only such law that would run counter to the proposed FDA rule. According to the American Cancer Society, over half the states have passed laws banning sales to minors but preventing tobacco-style regulation. E-cigarette retailers call the FDA proposal an overreach, though many health advocates like Kennedy say it still doesn't go far enough to protect children and consumers.
What's really a key thing that's missing is there's no sales or marketing restrictions on e-cigarettes, so things like celebrity endorsements and television ads and things that really appeal to youth are not a part of this current rule.
The FDA has not said when it will decide whether to adopt the proposed rule. Alex Smith, Heartland Health Monitor.
New research out of Washington University suggests that schizophrenia is actually 8 distinct disorders, each with a different genetic basis. Veronique LaCapra explains.
Washington University psychiatric geneticist Robert Cloninger says previous studies found only weak or inconsistent links between schizophrenia and individual genes. But Cloninger says he and his colleagues were able to develop a way to associate different types of schizophrenia with whole groups of genetic variants.
We don't have to just look at the effects of individual genes one at a time, but we actually can look at the way they work as members of an orchestra and lead to either health or disease.
Cloninger says this same approach could help researchers figure out the genetic basis for other complex disorders like heart disease or diabetes, and hopefully lead to earlier diagnosis and prevention. I'm Veronique LaCapra.
Students in 3 Springfield elementary schools are getting something extra at lunch. They're part of a program looking at how best to implement local foods in Springfield Public Schools. Michelle Skaliski has more.
Besides their regular lunch, students at Jeffries, Roundtree, and Robertson are being served locally grown fruits and vegetables this week. It's part of a new Springfield Public Schools program called Farm to School, made possible by a grant from the USDA. Jean Graybeal, manager of health services for the district, says they received the grant so SPS can look into how best to improve the health of students and ultimately the community.
Part of this grant is taking a look at how we might bring in locally grown foods and serve them as part of our lunch and breakfast program.
One day a week for 3 weeks, kids in the three participating schools get locally grown fruits and vegetables with their lunch. And not only are kids getting to try new foods, but they're also learning about where the food comes from. Part of the grant allowed them to take a field trip to a local farm. At Jeffries this week, students were served a cucumber tomato salad made with produce from Fast Night Farms and locally grown cantaloupe. Kindergartner Micah Davis decided to try both.
Did you like the cantaloupe?
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Well, I like pickles and tomatoes.
His classmate Layla Redden also liked the addition to her lunch tray.
What do you think?
Good.
Missouri State University students are assisting in the program by talking to students afterwards and finding out what they liked and what they didn't like. Graybeal says that will help the district plan for the future.
That's our goal, is how can we provide more locally grown foods and how can we incorporate that within our breakfast and lunch program. So the future ahead is looking at how we might implement that fully across the district.
According to SPS, district officials will apply this November for a USDA Farm to School implementation grant, which will fund the ongoing effort to increase the fresh local food options in school cafeterias district-wide. For KSMU News, I'm Michelle Skaliski.
That's all for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Maureen Lewis-Stump. Thanks for listening.